You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It's not too late.
Maybe. Just maybe.
To learn. Forget how to hate. It's beautiful.
Thanks, Dennis.
Brings a tear to my eye every damn time. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Good morning to you all. It's the old Thursday edition. 2 days away from the official anniversary of Wake Up Tucson. Tomorrow is Wake Up Tucson Anniversary Day. Observed. As we like to say.
There you go.
So Joe Higgins will be in here for most of the 3 hours tomorrow, and we're just going to wax philosophic. I've been putting up a bunch of memories on the old Wastebook, and there's some good stuff up there. I got some vids. I got a couple of old articles that we used to do in our Inside Tucson business days. I always say it, and I'm sure it's ego-pleasing for me how much that place went down the toilet since we stopped writing over there. Well, having Jim Nintzel be, and Mark Evans and Jim Nintzel be your editors kind of helps it suck. But they literally, this is Inside Tucson Business, did a profile. I was looking at one of our, so it shows you like some of the oh, this is what we have lately. They did a profile on Margaret Cheney, the loser that runs the Tucson Education Association, which has helped ruin TUSD. That's the big profile in the Inside Tucson business. It's too good.
Business. The business of teaching.
Oh boy. So fun show tomorrow. We'll have a fun show today, damn it.
Come on, what's wrong with today?
Larson's going to preview, walk us into the men and women's Final Four this weekend. Something called baseball starts today is what I heard. I don't know if that's a new sport.
Do tell.
Supposedly they have squares on dirt and people run around and we call it American cricket. Anyway, that's going on today. We're not going to talk about any baseball. Trust me, we're not. Remember Tuesday, wake up.
Except for inside baseball.
Thank you. Look at you. You're going to get a little cute thing on that one. And then we have... wakeup.gatmin.com. Tuesday is our amazing live radio breakfast remote. Please join us. $20, get the ticket, and you're going to have an amazing breakfast buffet. The numbers are looking good, and there are spots for a few more. So according to Jason, sent some numbers out yesterday. So wakeup.gatmin.com. All right. Let's do a little bit of a rundown today. Senate votes 68-23 to, quote, end a COVID emergency. So good.
Once it touches the lips. On that one.
So good. I do want to talk about the D.C. attorney fails to prosecute 67% of crimes in 2022. I thought it said D.C., I thought it said Pima. I wasn't sure what was going on there.
Shock, shock.
Denver High School that experienced shooting had gotten rid of its police officers. We'll talk about that. We got to talk about Arizona firefighters are asking the public to join a rally after multiple cancer claims denied by Copper Point Insurance. So we'll talk about that. And a lot of people are on this Copper Point thing out there. So we'll talk about that. They usually, you'll see them sponsoring useless chamber events. You know, Michael Guyman tells you how great it is in business. Let's sit down and have coffee and talk. Brought to you by Copper Point. The city, thank Jesus, is going to build 66, according bicycle boulevards. We'll get the bicycle boulevards. We still got to get to the judges yeah. thing on the zone, because yesterday was very big. Matt, I kind of brought it up, but and then you sent me that Channel 3 thing about the Arizona school for this deaf and blind story.
Oh, goodness.
So we got to talk about that.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we got Hobbs vetoing the grocery tax relief bill. Now that's the reason is it's hilarious.
I bet it has to do with the things that are sold to women.
We'll just see how it all goes.
Okay. I should have written it down and we could have done the Karnak.
Thank you very much. Rockin' Robbins gets a vote of no confidence from the faculty after the handling of the Dr. Meixner shooting and murder. Vail's hoping that they can get incorporation right this time. We hopefully will play Ted Cruz going off on Secretary Mayorkas to his face. And then we'll cover a Wall Street Journal article talking about, remember, if Rahina and Adelita and all these open borders people say they're all for the empathy for the migrants. Here's a quote. It's like a graveyard. Record number of migrants are dying at the U.S. border. We're so empathic. 736 million dollars of COVID aid intended for non-public schools is missing. So we'll probably bring that up with Congressman Schweikert when he gets here in the second hour, because he's all over the PPP fraud stuff. And again, when the federal government starts throwing out money like that, fast and loose.
Yeah.
That's all it is fraud. Fraud. So, one of the things, one thing, when we come back, we're going to start, we had the reactions to the Frank Knott interview yesterday with that Mosaic quarter, and there's a few verbals plus some texts and some emails that we got. I want to go over those a little bit. Also, I had a meeting yesterday, and you guys got to help me. I put it on Facebook. So there's the parking lot, which is the dirt parking lot next to the Mercado on Avenida del Convento and Congress over there. And for some reason, it's still never been paved, right? It literally is a dirt lot. It has some of the worst potholes you are. It's literally like off-roading on, like, it's like one of those, it's like one of those truck commercials, right, where they say, it's going to handle the toughest nature has to do, right?
That was the reason for that upgrade to the truck,
yeah.
Right there.
Right? It's because of that parking lot. And, I mean, it's the holes in it are just massive. Watching the old lady with her hybrid go through that was pretty hilarious yesterday, okay? So what I want to know is is that Weinstein? I've got those guys. Dixon? How do they get away with that? Right. So someone said, "Oh, maybe there's supposed to be a building there." Right. That's why it's never been paved. Right. Well, then don't use it as a parking lot.
And how many years has it been there? How many years has the?
It's been used as a parking for at least 8 years.
At least.
Right? 8, 10 years?
10.
Right?
Right.
So for 10 years, if it walks like a duck and acts like a duck, that's a duck.
You get 10 years of good parking there. Yep.
You know, when you're a restaurant, I've had this discussion with restaurateurs that have a discussion about how food trucks get away with more than they do, right? So a food truck can be in the middle of a dirt lot, that's fine, right? But a restaurant has to have parking lot paved, because I'm sure there's dust and dirt and blah, blah, blah that comes into the restaurant. So then, if that really is a future building spot and they're just taking advantage of it, are we saying that for the six businesses that are in the Convento, and I do like that development, right, that the 25 parking spots that are along Avenida del Convento, that satisfies the parking requirement that the city of Tucson's such a jerk about? I just thought about it going, how do they get away with this? Let's bring on XP before I come back with Frank Knott reviews. XP, what's shaking?
Hey, morning. I was trying to call in when you had Bruce on.
Yes.
When Bruce lamented the fact about prayer in school and having, you know, the president's pictures over the blackboard, I immediately envisioned growing up with George Washington over our blackboard with spitballs all over his face. And I just wanted to thank, I was having a bad morning, and I wanted to thank Bruce for it really made me laugh hard. And that guy is truly a gem of Tucson. He really is. I really admire Bruce Ash. I really do. I always have from the moment I first heard him. And the guy's a mensch. There's no doubt.
Thank you.
So,
all right. Well, Christopher, thank you for your call.
That's my fanboy moment.
have a super Thursday.
Keep up the good work, Chris.
Thank you, Christopher. Have a good day.
We need you.
Thank you. 790-2040. So we got some interesting birthdays today. We have Graham Edge from Moody Blues, Eric Clapton, Frankie Lane. Yesterday was Vangelis, so I have got Chariots of Fire. He did do some John Anderson work, but I'm not going to torture you, Matt, with that today. We'll be good. So, and then Eric Clapton, Frankie Lane, Graham Edge, Vangelis. Oh, and we do have one for MC Hammer. It's his birthday today. So, and we'll save Hammer for Schweikert. He's a big Hammer fan, I bet. So, when we come back, reactions to my discussion with Mosaic Quarter gentleman Frank Knott yesterday. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 of the voice. Local news and talk. Esquire beat me to the Freedom Rock line. What you got there, bro?
Well, turn it up.
Yesterday, if you missed it in the third hour, second hour, we had a very emotional time with Joey Rogers and Celeste from Dancing in the Streets, Arizona.
Yeah.
About their former
Elijah
student.
Miranda.
Yep. And lots of emotion. And again, back to that, on that, my review on that, I said it earlier at the wrap up of that hour, is all of these horrible governance decisions and inaction based on ideology and not true governance that's going to benefit the majority of the population has real, real consequences. And sooner or later, if you live in Tucson or near it, it'll come knocking on your door and hit you closer than you think. And that's where you're at. And so I'm sure a bunch of people that have had bad things happen to them like this all voted for Adelita Grijalva, Rahina Romero, Paul Cunningham like a bunch of zombies. But they don't understand. They're not paying attention, right? So they don't understand why that vote helped contribute to bad governance, because they're not paying attention. They say, oh, I saw a Democrat. I saw a D. Right? Right? It's like people who voted for Wadsack because she had an R behind her name, but she's just whatever she is. Ugh. Anyway, so Frank Knott is doing this development at Mosaic Quarter. And, you know, you step back from it. It went fine. It was, you know, good. He's obviously a very smart guy. He's a lawyer. He knows how to carefully say things. But he did open up a few things that people are starting to look into now. One is, what is really when he talks about the valuation of the dirt and what he's going to pay market rent. That's one that people are looking into right now. The other one is, I asked him, let's say this whole thing sucks. He did mention the county could be on the hooks for what he said for some payments. And that was one that raised a red flag with some of my watchdogs on Pima County. So that's going to get looked into. I was talking to a buddy of mine who works in Pima County administration, and they were all begging him not to do the interview.
Really?
Yep.
What? Why would?
Because they hate my guts.
Oh,
and basically it was, why would you go on that show? Why would you do this? So Pima County, a bastion of open information.
So this is like the second or third time we've heard officials in Pima County putting pressure on people not to talk.
Correct.
About tell their story to taxpayers.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct. Shock, jock.
Ministry of Truth.
One of our listeners, as an owner of a sports facility in the area, I have a few. This is right after he texted me this after the interview. I have a few relevant opinions on your guest's indoor sports plan. In short, all of his numbers are overly optimistic. The county land valuation is way below market value and not good for taxpayers. Plus, not understanding the travel competition of the Phoenix market is naive. All that needs scrutiny. With that said, sports tourism for kids is a better waste of community tax dollars than the county's normal BS. Enjoyed the interview. And then listener Don on our Wake Up Tucson private Facebook group, Frank Knott is a combination of Harold Hill and Sean Penn from Team America, Rainbow Skies and Rivers of Chocolate. Matt Damon. I was waiting for Chris to ask about the demographic within the 10 miles of the area is not great. Where are all the new soccer tournaments with additional fields? Where are all this new soccer fit with all the additional soccer fields booked? Question mark. And that's a question, right? So we have all these soccer fields now. Are they really even getting booked at a decent clip for soccer right now? My answer would be no. Then he says 350 hockey families starts all this. So no outcry of affordable housing on the 90-acre site. Remember that there's times where they all say, oh, you're going to do that? You need to do affordable housing, right? So he says, so no outcry of affordable housing on a 90-acre site.
That's funny because any other project you would get some sort of talk about. That's actually a good point.
No worries about water with putting ice on three hockey rinks 365 days a year in the middle of a hot desert. And then he's going to compete with the casinos for 2,500 attendance shows. Because that was the other thing he said.
Well, and I don't know all the logistics of it, but he said a 2,500-seat venue, and I don't know what they get over at like Casino del Sol at the Ava Amphitheater, but I don't know if that's a direct competition or not in terms of facilities or ability to put a show on.
Right.
That's interesting because it is closer into town.
Yep, that's what he was.
Yeah.
And then he said Mr. Nod had a few Zach Yenser's word salads, probably enough to fool the Pima County Board of Soups. As long as the risk is on him, comma, good luck. Again, he also talks about, sure, driving to Phoenix sucks, but I wonder how much time and money they are saving driving to Keno and I-10. Marana could support this complex and should have been in the conversation. 90 acres along I-10 on the east side north of Twin Creeks, I'm sure, was available. Looking at this, though, better for Marana not to be involved. Then he says 14 restaurants. That was another thing, 14 restaurants. And then he says, if U of A goes there, doesn't that hurt downtown? And then he says, I'll just grab some popcorn and thinking about that. 790-2040. Let's get Bill number two on the line. We got about 90 seconds. Billy, what's shaking?
Morning, guys. I can do it in probably 15. You're talking about that 90 acres of dirt. He mentioned that he'll be paying property taxes on the building that he puts up. And that's, you know, true. The biggest problem about the 90 acres of the dirt is, you know, here you got another 90 acres taken off the tax rolls, the dirt, and other people are going to have to pick up the difference. I mean, that's...
Well, I brought that up, he said, well, the tax is on the buildings, not on the dirt. Well, there's still taxes on the dirt, but...
Right, but it is... But if Pima County just waives all that off and nobody pays it, nobody gets it, supposedly, I guess, or maybe... We're all paying it.
So this is the other part. Everyone, trust me, DeFilippo is going to start digging on this. Okay, is they're leasing the dirt. We don't know if it's even market rate. We'll figure that out.
But he explained that.
Right. Then he's going to build a building on it. Right. But then he's going to lease it to Pima County, who's then going to lease him back to operate it, and they're going to get 55%. That really set off a lot of bells for people figuring that thing out.
That's a lot of paperwork.
Right? So, you know, why that judo flip? We got to figure that on why they're doing that.
Well, there'll be an economic advantage someplace, no question about it.
And then while that EMSI company that he said for economic impact is one of the better ones out there, it matters how much you dial up or dial down on when you know, because he's saying that this is going to create this job, that's going to create that job. And most people, 46,000 jobs over 10 years, for 40 years, still doesn't make any sense to anybody.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. How good have been the so-called experts in the last 4, 5, 6 years?
Horrible.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. All right, see you guys.
All right, Ryan Larson, best sports director in America, coming up next. 6:34 in the morning, Eric Clapton's birthday. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Let's go to Ryan Larson, who I think his first concert was a One Direction concert. His sister dragged him to. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. My first concert was actually a rave, thank you. So.
And actually, I know your sister pretty well. She wouldn't be listening to that One Direction crap. So,
not a chance.
Thank you. I apologize, Taylor. 6:35 in the morning, we're hanging out with the best sports director in America. Better than all those losers at ESPN. That's what I tell people. Larson, I want to start off. This is something where you might not even know where I was going to go with this today. It's related to women's Final Four, right?
Okay.
I'm in love with Kim Mulkey. She is my favorite new. She is, first of all, it's not the clothes are fine. She dresses wild. I love it, right? My wife loved that. We were watching a compilation of her yelling at refs, and she was wearing the shiny shirt with Mike the Tiger on the front. It was just hilarious, right? But I first fell in love with her at her end of the third quarter interview against Miami in her Elite Eight game, because it was 37-27. Both teams shot like crap from the field, right? And the ESPN reporter says, "Coach, what's your team need to do to get to the Final Four?" She goes, "I don't know. Probably hit free throws and layups and crap, right?" And I was like, "Oh." And then she goes, and then she looks at the camera and she goes, "I don't know why you people are watching this game right now. It's a travesty." I'm like, "Oh." You know, and then I looked into her and she has a hell of a career. Amazing 5'4", member of the Basketball Hall of Fame, gold medal Olympian. She's a rip. I love her.
Yeah, she is pretty famous for her honesty. She is hilarious. Her outfits are absolutely wild. Of course, I'm a little hurt this year because LSU knocked out Utah in this tournament, so that hurt me a little bit.
Sure.
But she has had an awesome career. You're 100% right. She won national championships as a player. She won 3 national championships while a head coach at Baylor. If you remember anything about women's basketball for the last 20 years, outside of UConn, Baylor has really been the second best national power in the sport. And she won those three championships with Baylor. She decides to move on, goes to LSU now as the head coach, and immediately has LSU into the Final Four. And so she's had success at basically every stop in women's basketball. And she's good for the sport, too, because she is a character. She is somebody that people can watch and be interested in, whether it's just because of her outrageous outfits that she has, which are pretty incredible, or because of her very frank attitude to how she approaches the game and her players. But she makes for a more interesting Final Four in the women's game, that's for sure.
The shiny suit with the feathers that she wore against Utah, right?
Atrocious.
I think my wife said she saw a quote that she was channeling her inner Ric Flair, which I thought was amazing.
That's very good.
And her quote about the Final Four was great. She goes, "I've seen South Carolina play. They're a real bear. They're a real bear to play." tell me about the Final Four. Starts tomorrow for the women's, and let's start off with my girl Mulkey and the Baton Rouge girls.
Yeah, so LSU is going to be playing Virginia Tech. And so what we get in this game, LSU is a 3 seed coming in. They play nasty defense.
Yep.
They've held 3 teams in this tournament under 50 points. And the only team they allowed to score more than 50 was Utah, who only scored 63. And Utah is one of the best offenses in the entire country. So holding them to 63 is a great defensive performance. So expect LSU to be an absolute pain for Virginia Tech. And that also comes along with Angel Reese, who's LSU's best player, who does it all for the Tigers. She scores 23 a game. Yeah, 23 a game points, but also grabs 15 rebounds. So everything LSU does is going to run through her, and she's awesome. And for Virginia Tech, they're a more well-rounded team. They were 1 seed coming in. They won the ACC. They've been dominant. And what they do is they score really well. They score 72 a game, but they also play solid defense. Only one team has scored more than 65 against them in this tournament, so they're a little more well-rounded, and it starts with Elizabeth Kitley, who is their best player, and she's kind of similar to Angel Reese. She scores 18 a game, so she's a little bit less of a scorer, but she also grabs 10 boards, so big-time post player, plays really physical, so that's the LSU-Virginia Tech game right there. But ultimately, I like what LSU has been doing, but I think Virginia Tech and just how well-rounded they are, the points that they are able to get, having more players who can contribute outside of just Angel Reese for LSU, I think Virginia Tech wins this game. Sorry to your girl, Kim Mulkey.
That's okay. You're wrong. But now, so I watched the Virginia Tech-Ohio State game, okay? And that first half was so amazing because they were both blistering hot from all parts of the field. So they got this point guard at Virginia Tech, Georgia Amore, who's unbelievably talented, right? And her and the other, and the, it was the 3-point specialist for, Mike Sell. Her last name was like Mike Sell. Those guys were just bombing from threes. They looked like they were both shooting about 90% from threes in the first, you know, quarter and a half of that game. And it was like, my wife and I are like, holy crap, this is one of the most impressive shooting performances we've seen in a basketball game in about 10 years.
Yeah, they're awesome. But Chris, if you really want to talk about impressive shooters, then you need to go watch the other game.
I know.
South Carolina, Iowa.
Tell me about that
because
one.
Because Iowa has Caitlin Clark, who right now is probably the most popular player in the NCAA tournament. She's coming off of a game where against Louisville where she had 41 points and 10 rebounds and 12 assists. So 41-point triple-double. And in that game, she went 8 of 14 from three-point range. So Caitlin Clark loves to bomb it from three-point range, and she makes a ton of them. And she's one of the most exciting players in the Final Four. She's incredible. She does everything for Iowa. They love just getting her the ball and letting her go to work. And it's irresponsible to compare people to Steph Curry, but the way she approaches the game is very similar to how Steph Curry approaches the game. She loves to facilitate for her teammates, but at the same time is completely unafraid to shoot from anywhere on the floor. Now, she does also turn the ball over a ton. She had 9 turnovers in that game against Louisville, so she almost had a quadruple-double. But she is exciting to watch, and she's great for the women's game just because of her incredible shooting ability. She creates a ton of highlights. And, I mean, she just had 41 points in a game where she had a triple-double to send her team to the Final Four. So she's incredible, and she's going up against the toughest test in all of women's basketball this year, South Carolina, the most complete team in the sport, hasn't lost a game. Hasn't even every game they've played in this tournament, they've won by double digits. So is anyone going to be able to challenge South Carolina? I still don't think so. I still think South Carolina is just on their march to win the national title. But if anyone's going to get a star performance that can upset the Gamecocks, it's going to be Caitlin Clark in Iowa. So that's going to be a fun game to watch tomorrow.
All right. Hold that thought, Mr. Larson. We're going to move to the men's Final Four. Where, again, my prediction is South Carolina versus LSU, and then LSU pulls the miracle upset on Sunday night.
Just I like the boldness.
That's what we do. As Stallone told Canelo, hey, Canelo, be bold. So hold that thought for a sec. Ryan Larson, sports director. We're going to cover the men's Final Four coming up. That's going to start on late Saturday afternoon our time. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Last weekend for Rito Racetrack this year too, guys. So if you haven't done this very fun thing, better get out to the track. Track opens at 11 Saturday and Sunday. First race at 1 p.m. Wake up.
ESQ here. We got a La Jolla gift card, $20. A La Jolla gift card. It can be yours. You give me a call at 520-790-2040. That's 520-790-2040. $20 gift card for La Jolla Restaurant. It's yours. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
All right. It was Greek composer, multi-instrumentalist Vangelis' birthday yesterday, but we were doing other things to celebrate our sister station, The Drive, so I threw in a little Chariots of Fire today. We're hanging out with Ryan Larson, sports director. They grow up so fast.
Thank you, Chris.
They grow up so fast.
They do.
Let's talk about, we have an interesting Final Four where we have a 4 seed, 2 5s, and a 9. So it's kind of like the common guy and girls Final Four.
Yeah, it has been the year of the upset in the NCAA tournament, and now we know that either FAU, Florida Atlantic, or San Diego State is going to be playing for a national title this year. So that is not what we're used to seeing in the men's basketball tournament, but this Final Four should be really exciting. This FAU-San Diego State game, I think is going to be a really interesting contrast of styles, because San Diego State, what they love to do, they love to make games as ugly as possible for themselves and their opponents. They just want to make everyone miserable on the basketball court, because San Diego State is the best defensive team in the Final Four, and they're the team that plays with the slowest pace as well. So what San Diego State basically does is they challenge a team to try and score 65 points on them, and then they try and make it as miserable as possible in the process. And nobody has scored 65 points on the Aztecs since before the Mountain West Conference tournament. So it's been like about 10 games now since anyone has scored 65 points on the Aztecs. And so we're looking at an awesome defensive team. And where San Diego State really thrives is in their three-point defense. They've held opponents to 17% from three in the NCAA tournament. And now this is going to be a really interesting contrast to FAU, because FAU is incredibly dependent on the three-point shot. They get more production from threes than any of the other Final Four teams. And so it's going to be this battle of styles to see who's actually going to succeed in this game. Can San Diego State run FAU off the three-point line, or is FAU actually going to be able to make shots? And I think in order for FAU to survive and then to advance the national championship game, they're going to have to be a lot closer to their season average of 36% from three than the 17% that San Diego State's holding teams to. But FAU's got a really awesome opportunity here, because no team ranked that was lower than an 8 seed has ever made the national championship game. We've had a couple of 8 seeds make the national championship, notably like Kentucky in 2014, but no team lower than an 8 has ever made the Final Four. So FAU could have the most unprecedented Cinderella run that we've ever seen in the NCAA tournament, which would be really exciting. And it's all going to come down to what they can get out of John L. Davis, who's their leading scorer. He does everything for him. He gets 17 points. He gets 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.5 steals. He's awesome. And that go along with it, with size that FAU has, they have Vladislav Golden, who's a 7-foot Russian, who is just really nasty on the interior. I mean, he dominated Kansas State. He had 14 points and 13 boards. So FAU wants to win with speed and athleticism. San Diego State wants to make it slow and ugly. It's going to be a really interesting contrast of styles.
What a great name, Vladimir Golden. Sounds fake.
Great name. Sounds like a Bond villain.
It does. Or someone who's going to be fighting the Creed kid in Creed 5. So.
Didn't he already fight the bad guy in Creed 4, son?
Well, Drago's Jr. Drago Jr. I think he did, yeah. Drago Jr. So he's got to fight Mr. T's kid now. So Clubber Lang Jr.
Clubber Lang Jr.
Winner gets a reverse mortgage.
Thank you. So you know what's interesting? I was looking at this article about where they're playing the different tournaments, right? The girls are playing, you know, in where they're playing. They're playing in
South Carolina, I think.
No, they're playing in Texas too, I think.
Oh,
right?
Goodness.
Right. Yeah, we're playing in Dallas, right?
Right. Yeah, in Dallas.
And the boys are playing in the actual place where the Houston. I didn't realize. I thought they were playing where the Rockets play. They're actually playing in the football stadium.
That's what they do these days.
Final Four now. It's always in football stadiums. It's dumb, but that's what they do.
And that place holds 75,000. So that'll be interesting how that goes, right? But they were talking about, this is interesting, so the ratings for the women's final, the Elite Eight games, right? So Iowa-Louisville drew 2.5 million viewers on Sunday, right? Which is more than any ESPN game, and NBA game, that they've done the entire season. So
that sounds about right, yeah.
So the women's Final Four is getting a little more popular, and NBA is flattening out. Is that what I'm seeing there?
Yeah, I think there's been a big push to improve the women's game coverage, which ESPN has been a part of, and there's been better publicity for the Final Four, and it's been an exciting tournament for them. While the NBA regular season, I mean, if you're a big NBA fan, you'll watch the games, but is it really that easy for a casual basketball fan to get excited to watch a random Milwaukee-Boston game? I'm sure that will draw in some fans because they're two of the best teams in the NBA. But if you're more of a casual, it's easier to just wait until the playoffs come around and to say, I'm going to wait until these games actually matter. And you can also make a point about load management in the NBA being bad for fans, where it's on any given night, it's like, well, Giannis might not be playing, or Jason Tatum sitting out for Boston in this game just because he's played five games in a row. And so the fan product is better in the NCAA women's tournament than anything that the NBA is putting out right now.
So I interrupted you. Tell me about what do you think and who's going to make it to the final and who's going to take this thing?
All right. So I think we get San Diego State out of the FAU-San Diego State game. And then the Miami-UConn game, this is a battle between Miami. Watch a lot of U of A basketball this year. You're going to like or maybe hate Miami's style because they play really great offense and they don't play a lot of defense.
Gotcha.
Now, Miami's really small, too. They have five starters who are all 6'7 or shorter, and they're going to be going up against a UConn team that's elite defensively and is elite with offensive rebounding, specifically because they have Adama Sanogo, who is just absolute force on the interior. 6'10", he's leading the tournament in points scored. He's scoring 20 a game, and he's also grabbing 10 rebounds a game in the NCAA tournament. So with Sanogo and the rest of what UConn brings to the table with elite guards on the perimeter, specifically Jordan Hawkins, who is great against Gonzaga, I think this UConn team is more talented than Miami, and I worry that Miami is going to get absolutely destroyed on the interior. But we've seen if Miami's right offensively, they can blow teams out of the building. They scored 85, 89, and 88 in their last three games. And one of those games was against Houston, who is an elite defensive team. So if Miami stays hot, absolutely they could beat UConn. But I trust UConn's defense more. I trust the talent that UConn has. So I think we get a UConn-San Diego State national championship game. And then UConn's the favorite, but I think San Diego State just makes it super ugly. I think they make UConn's life miserable. And UConn has a tradition of playing in really awful national championship games that are terrible to watch, their last two national championships specifically. I think we get another one of those games, but I think this time the Aztecs win. And we're
wow.
getting the Mountain West Conference champion, Mountain West Conference team winning the national championship this
Wouldn't
year.
That be something.
I mean that make
and then
the,
they join the Pac-12.
That'd make the U of A fans feel so bad that San Diego State can win a Final Four and we still haven't won one since the Lute Olson days.
It's been a minute. I mean, for better or worse, the NCAA tournament does not crown the best teams though. It's a six-game knockout tournament. It's not always the best teams that make the Final Four.
Six games is a hell of a test, though, buddy.
It's definitely a test, but not all the best teams are going to be there at the end. I mean, we see that this year.
What was I going to say? Oh, and UConn did look pretty impressive, blowing the crap out of Gonzaga in their Elite Eight game. I know the Brawny Man got in early foul trouble, but
they ran them off the court. Gonzaga is composed very similar to Miami. They play awesome offense, not a lot of defense. Now, Miami doesn't even have a guy like Drew Timmy who can be just as big of a force in the post. Maybe it's Jordan Miller, who is great against Texas for the Hurricanes, but I worry that UConn's going to do the exact same thing to Miami.
And I said I wasn't going to do it, but real quick, I know the cricket, the American cricket starts today.
It's opening day, Chris. Oh, I'm happy.
Sorry, opening day. The rule changes that they made, I thought I saw something that they may or were going to modify them after spring training. The rule changes are all staying the same?
Yeah, we're still getting the pitch clock. We're still getting the bigger bases. All the rules that we saw in spring training, which have dramatically sped up games, they're going to be there.
Nice. Have we seen, like, spring training's a little harder, but what kind of cut down on time did we see on spring training games because of this?
Yeah, so most major league games last year were averaging well over 3 hours, and now we're seeing spring training games where we're seeing games as short as like 2 hours and 10 minutes, but generally the average is down to somewhere around 2.5 to 2 hours and 40 minutes for most games, which, you know, that half hour is a dramatic improvement, not just in terms of watching time, but in terms of the way the game moves when you're watching is so much better, where you're not watching one pitch and then you get a sit and you can like look at your phone for 15 seconds.
Right.
And then you see the next pitch. There's a pitch, the ball comes back, and they're immediately preparing for the next pitch. So the flow is so much better, which I think is so much more important than just cutting the length of time in a game. I think that flow makes the viewing experience so much better.
Awesome. All right, well, maybe I'll start watching a game. I'm not promising it, but if Mrs. D wants to watch a Cub game, I'll watch it with her, and I'll start there.
The Diamondbacks are going to be fun this year, Chris. They're not
going
to make
stop.
The playoffs,
they
probably,
don't stop.
But they're going to be fun.
Yeah, baby backs. They're all
a year
fun.
Away.
Yeah, they're all a year away. Yeah. So, You, I love your cockeyed optimism, though. I love it. So, great job, Larson.
I didn't say they were going to make the playoffs. I just said they were going to be fun, Chris.
All right, I'm with you. I remember when they had to pay for all the sins of buying all those people to win a World Series, and it was the young backs, the baby backs, and never made it happen. So, we'll see what happens. So, all right, my friend, great job.
Thanks, Chris. Have a great week.
You too. One Shining Moment. So Beautiful by Luther Vandross. Holidays today. It's National I Am in Control Day. Take a Walk in the Park Day, which could be a little dangerous if you're in Tucson, especially Pliskin Acres. It's World Bipolar Day.
Maybe a run.
Pencil Day. Run. Take a run in the park. A very fast run. And then food. You guys are always interested in the food holidays. It's the famous Turkey Neck Soup Day. So, love it. Schweikert and then Tim Sandifer from Goldwater, 737, talking about the zone.